When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? It's estimated over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
According to the Kaiser Family Foundation, in Mississippi, people of color make up 44% of the population, but make up 81% of women receiving abortions. In Texas, they're 59% of the population and 74% of those receiving abortions. In Alabama, 35% of the population is people of color, yet they are 69% of those receiving abortion services. In Louisiana, there is a 42% Black population, but this segment makes up 72% of those receiving abortions. Numbers like these further substantiate 2019 data released from the CDC, reporting that not only are abortions more common among Black Americans, but the abortion rates for Black women are also at numbers almost five times those of white women. As reported by Politico, quote, "The Supreme Court has voted to strike down the landmark Roe v. Wade decision, according to an initial draft majority opinion, written by Justice Samuel Alito. The draft opinion is a full-throated, unflinching repudiation of the 1973 decision, which guaranteed federal constitutional protections of abortion rights, and a subsequent 1992 decision, Planned Parenthood v. Casey, that largely maintained the right," end quote. Alito wrote, quote, "Roe was egregiously wrong from the start," end quote. To discuss this further, we have today's guest, Meredith Matthews, Planned Parenthood South Atlantic's community organizer and chairperson for Lowcountry Sexual Assault Response Team in Charleston, South Carolina. This is the Black Information Network Daily Podcast, and I'm your host, Ramses Ja. So welcome to the show, Ms. Matthews. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. It's just such a pleasure.
Of course, of course. Can you share a bit with us about your background and how you've been led to your role at Planned Parenthood?
Ooh, how much time do you have?
All the time you need.
So originally I am from rural South Carolina, about an hour outside of Charleston. I left and went to school and everything, but I came back when I was 19, whenever I had my son. And so technically, I am a teen mother, but I feel as if I have always, I grew up in a very progressive or open-minded family, and I definitely think that informed me, but my life experiences as a Black woman, as a Gullah Geechee woman living in the South, definitely contributes to the work that I am doing today, because choice is such an... It is very fickle in the South, unfortunately, and I am thankful that I had the autonomy to make the decision that I did make. But me also being a sexual assault survivor, I know that choices are not as black and white as we try to paint them out to be. And so that definitely has led indirectly and directly to the work that I do today.
Hmm. Now, we initially reported on the Supreme Court's draft majority opinion in early May. What's the latest with that story?
So as of right now, and I do want it to be known that abortion is still legal, especially in South Carolina, but across the nation, it is legal as of right now. They have not officially handed down a decision, though we think that it is coming very soon and impending. So that is a waiting game at this point, but we're not waiting on our heels. We are really getting down and dirty and embracing for a fight, because it will be one.
Okay. Now, you mentioned earlier sexual assault, and I don't mean to trigger any listeners. So trigger warning. What are some of the other reasons that a woman might want to have an abortion?
Well, I think that is entirely up to the individual. So I would hate to paint, a broad picture, because I do feel like there are endless and an infinite number of reasons that are valid. Sure. But some of the reasons that I've seen, or what has been told, was, hey, some women or some people have just become mothers themselves, and they find themselves pregnant again. I know for me, I almost died, even at 19, fairly healthy. I almost died in childbirth. And at 27, almost 28 today, I'm still kind of scared, because in the event that I choose to have another child, that can wipe me out of here. And so there's the Black maternal health issue as well. There's poverty is in play. And the work that I've done as a victim service provider in the past and currently, I see a lot of women trapped in abusive situations because they did not have autonomy over their bodies. So like I said, there's so many reasons, and it's not as simple as I think a lot of people try to make it out to be. It is a decision, a heavy decision that so many people make and keep making, because right now that is their right to do so. And unfortunately, that right is in jeopardy.
Sure, sure. I appreciate the answer there. And I realize that, I'm a man, of course, and that this is a subject that is really a woman's subject. And yet it warrants at least a conversation. And so we have guests like you on to kind of paint the picture for all of us, for the entirety of Black folks. I realize going into this next question that I have no authority to speak on it. So it genuinely is a question. And though we've spoken about this in the past on this show, the intention, of course, was to just kind of bring some light to certain issues. Now, you mentioned Black maternal health, which, again, is something that we've discussed on the show a few times now. Are there any disparities with respect to abortions or abortion accessibility for Black women specifically?
Yes, yeah, specifically, I don't have a number right in front of me, but I can definitely tell there are everything is so interconnected, and there are disparities on access to healthcare, period, abortion included. Mm-hmm. And so, especially in the Charleston and where I live, there's disparities in pay, and we all know this. And where people who look like me are, chances are, for a lot of people, they might not be making the same as their counterparts. Okay. And then there is, thanks to gentrification, which is, as being Gullah Geechee, that is something that is very important to me, that there is logistical issues when it comes to accessing abortion healthcare because of just plain old geographics. There's three abortion clinics in the state of South Carolina, two of which are Planned Parenthood. And there are issues of availability. You can go down many of streets and there's three of the same type of provider, providing the same services just in one building. But for abortion, it's spread out across the whole state. And so many people have to travel, take off time from work. Look, hopefully you're getting paid time off, or you have to find money for childcare. You have to find the money to pay out of pocket for abortion care. And it's like this never ending, I hate to say game, but it does feel like it, that there are intentional barriers in place for women, but unfortunately, like Black women and Latinx women and Indigenous women, they are targeted and they get the brunt of the situation.
Sure. Okay. So, you know, you kind of described it a bit, but let's imagine what it could look like in the future. So what's it like for a woman who wants to come in and get an abortion today versus what would it be like if Roe v. Wade is stricken down?
So in the state of South Carolina, today, their abortion, of course, is still legal. Mm-hmm. They can make an appointment. There may be wait times and everything, which isn't new, but if in the event that it is stricken down, there will be, because we still have, right now we have a 6-week ban, abortion ban on our books, on our, in our laws, but is not enforced because Roe v. Wade is still intact. If it is, then that will become into law, but legislators right now are working to, and that they're going after a total ban for abortion. And luckily we have some champions that really care about women's rights and bodily autonomy there to fight, but the numbers, I will say, it doesn't seem as if it's in our favor. I cannot say this enough, I cannot stress this enough, that abortion is still legal. In the event that it's not, that means if they do not change or make an abortion ban more strict, it would be 6 weeks. You know, you would have to be in 6 weeks of gestation. And a lot of people don't realize that only means 2 weeks after a late period, if you get in a period at all, because of course, so many people are irregular. And so it's really difficult, but we are here to really make sure that people have rights and access and the funds. There are so many abortion funds across the nation that are doing work to make sure people have the money to actually receive care. And we will. My job does not end. If anything, it gets a lot harder and I work a lot harder to make sure people still have freedom.
You know, one of the things that I never really understood is why. You know, why are legislators wanting to modify abortion laws and put further restrictions on abortion access? I mean, do you have any idea what the motivation is?
Speaking as a Black woman, I think it's to further white supremacy. Mm. And that is just speaking bluntly. Mm-hmm. I heard a quote and I cannot say it verbatim, but when you control people's bodies, you can control communities. And that to me is very powerful. And that says a lot to why you can see that with certain laws that they are targeting Black women, Latinx women, Indigenous women. And to me, that just goes to show that you control communities. And that is the quest, especially in this state. They say it's because of their religion, and I am not to invalidate anyone's religion, but the same cases that can be heard, or the same cases that they are making when it comes to the death penalty, they don't make those cases. It's also justified, but that's a whole nother conversation. But to me, it seems as a farce or a cop out when people say that because my religion says X, Y, and Z, then that also means that you should adhere to it. But I was under the impression that we lived in a nation of religious freedom as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's why I was saying, I don't think it's another conversation entirely. I think it's the very conversation we're having. I'd like to add on to that, if I may. Mm-hmm. There is and has been, you know, in my research into this so far, a sort of moral face. It's hidden behind this sort of pseudo morality. You know, as you mentioned, you know, religious ideals and, you know, my faith won't allow me to terminate a life and that sort of a thing, which if that were it, it would you know, be understandable. But, you know, as you mentioned, we live in a nation with religious freedoms, and there's a separation of church and state. There's a reason why we don't take our laws directly from the Bible, you know. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we would have a society akin to, let's call it the Taliban, a society that actually does that. Now, to your point about white supremacy, you know, when I'm telling myself this story, I look at the numbers. You know, as we mentioned, Black women get abortions at higher rates. We recognize, I think if we take it as fact, that we'll recognize that, you know, if you have children, especially if you have children younger, it might have some influence, might impact your mobility in terms of your future prospects, because you have to care for your children. I and the reason we can accept this as fact, at least I can, is because I remember reading that when the pill came out, women were able to enter into the workforce and start their journey toward becoming the economic powerhouse, you know, as a group that they are now today. Not equal with men yet, but still, you know, earning more money. And that's because there were less children to care for. There was a lot more the capacity to go to school, the capacity to hold a career, and so forth. Those things increased when the pill came out. And so I believe that there's a correlation with how many children you have, the age at which you have your children, and of course, your prospects for what life may hold for you, and the economic resources that you can acquire in that time. And so when we look at that and we take into account that Black women get abortions at higher rates than white women, it seems, to your point, that it's a very easy measure that you can hide behind this so-called morality, legislated into law. And what you have is Black women now with more children that they have to take care of, which limits their mobility in society. And then you have a further subjugated and oppressed group of people relative to white women and other women. And so I think that there, the case that you make, it makes itself if you take a step back and look at all the numbers. So I just wanted to offer that, because it certainly does feel like you're onto something there.
Yeah, like, and I apologize that I don't have all the different statistics that I'm going to reference in front of me. However, let's just look at this. So yes, if you look solely at the number or the rate in which Black women receive abortions, okay, and I hear this all the time from the right, or, you know, pro-choice. Mm-hmm. Not pro-choice, pro-life, which isn't a thing for them. But I hear that, and they constantly, especially since I'm a Black face, that is what they hammer down on. Oh, you know, they're trying to kill Black babies, trigger warning, and all this stuff.
Sure.
But here's what doesn't make sense in my mind. If you just look at that number and not look at the number in which of which we're able to earn certain amounts of income or salary as opposed to other people, or look at the rate in which we're not getting married, or look at the rate in which we're victimized by sexual assault, or the rate in which we're victimized by domestic violence, which in South Carolina is extremely high. Mm. They don't ever bring up those numbers that all those factors that could and do influence a woman's decision to terminate a pregnancy. So, and even when it comes to the Black maternal mortality rate, that's another one that is a topic of conversation right now. No one wants to ever look at those numbers and put two and two together. So I feel like it's willful ignorance at this point. Like it is.
Yeah,
and I also want to refer to the legislator out of Louisiana, and I will not plug his name because he does not need free press. But him saying, and when someone brings up the maternal mortality rate in the United States, and especially in Louisiana, him saying, "Well, the maternal mortality rate is only high if you count Black women," and I don't know about you, I don't know about listeners, but I always count Black women, and I always count on Black women. Mm-hmm. So they cannot even hide their racism at this point, because in a nation in which Black women and the GOAT of all time, Serena Williams, can deal with problems such as Black maternal health issues, and then they go into and they see the numbers in which Black women are getting abortions, and then they was like, oh, let's outlaw it. To me, that is intentional. Mm-hmm. And so it's crazy how they try to lean into this narrative that they're somehow saving Black babies, a fetus, an embryo. I don't necessarily equate that to a baby, but they lean into that. But where are these same folks using that ideology and that's those statements when it comes down to when we are shot in the street for no reason? I don't see those people who are pro-life and pro-Black life who are constantly throwing it in my face. I don't see them when it comes down to marching, when we're killed or the mass incarcerations. I just don't see it. So I know that it has nothing to do with the goodness of their heart.
You know, it's funny because it seems like the argument makes itself. It's just a matter of whether or not folks choose to acknowledge it. And so I appreciate the perspective.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. People don't always realize just how much their negative thoughts and experiences stick with them and weigh them down. You may find your brain constantly running through a highlight reel of bad moments. That comment your friend made last week that hurt your feelings, that frustrating thing your mom does, or that silly thing you said in a meeting. Maybe it's time to get it all off your chest. Whether it's a tiny annoyance or something much bigger, talking about it can give you some relief and lead you to a potential solution. That's where therapy comes in. It's a safe space to share whatever's weighing you down and learn to process it so your internal highlight reel can focus on the good stuff. And BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Connect with a licensed therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes and switch therapist anytime. Let it out with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BIN today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BIN.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit healthlock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's healthlock.com.
We are here with Meredith Matthews, Planned Parenthood South Atlantic's community organizer and chairperson for Low Country Sexual Assault Response Team in Charleston, South Carolina, discussing the current attack on Roe versus Wade, abortion, and their impacts on the Black community. What are some potentially harmful scenarios that could come from criminalizing or restricting abortion options?
This conversation is not about difference of ideology and beliefs. This is about bodies. Mm-hmm. This is about people's lives and their livelihoods. And that is what is at stake in this conversation. There will be, and I hate to put it bluntly, but there will be blood on the hands of politicians who infringe on people's rights. It does not work. And quite honestly, when it comes to forced birth, because that's what abortion bans are, forced births, I think about me specifically, me being a Black woman, I think about my ancestors. And I think about how they did not have the choice to have babies for their enslavers and for the profit of their enslavers. And so it's hard to narrow down pinpoint all the ramifications about what this will mean, but it's going to be dangerous.
What can we as individuals do to ensure abortion access is not further limited? You know, are there specific organizations we should be following or donating to, or actions we can be taking within our local communities, anything like that?
Well, I always tell people that everyone has the capability and everyone is an organizer. They just don't know it. You have the power to influence and to shape your community. So step one, I think that is important that we tell our stories. And if you've had an abortion or you received an abortion or know, or your life is influenced in some way by the gift of having access to abortion, tell those stories. And like, let's break down the stigma, because believe it or not, there are people that you love that have had an abortion. Mm-hmm. They may not have, quite honestly, the taboo. So it might not be widely known. So it's important to tell stories. Step two is, when you tell those stories, talk to your friends about it. Humanize the issue. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, this is about people, not just beliefs. And so, of course, humanize the issue. And three, of course, know about the abortion funds. Know about the providers. You can go on abortionprovider.org to find abortion care near you. And even if you are not in need of one, share that link so that people who may need an abortion can see it. Or contact your legislators. You know, that is very powerful. And get all your friends to contact your legislators, and get their friends to contact legislators. Hmm. It needs to be like a wide reaching effort, because it's going to be all hands on deck at this point. Like I don't know if people, especially with me, I'm a millennial, I'm young. I think that we were complacent and don't. And now we have to really fight to protect our liberty and our bodily autonomy. And also, know your community organizers. Know the people, whether that be Black reproductive orgs, or even Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood has their Black organizing program, which is awesome. And know of all the work that is going on, and really engage in the political process and in the conversation.
Sure, sure. You know, you mentioned about discussing it to kind of minimize the stigma associated with it. One in four women has had an abortion or will have an abortion at some point in their life. And so that means if you have three friends and you're a woman, then one of you will experience that. And you may not know it because of the fact that it's not discussed as openly as, say, getting your wisdom teeth pulled. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that to your point, yeah, there's definitely something to be said about discussing it. You know, of course, our show producer here and myself, we really believe that stories like these, especially stories that affect Black women specifically, need to be told. And, you know, we do our best to bring light to those stories and have folks on such as yourself to help share them. So we definitely appreciate your time today and helping us toward that end. Before we let you go, why not drop any social media, any websites, anything like that, so folks can keep up with you and the work that you're doing?
Okay, so you can actually follow our Planned Parenthood and follow the work that we do. Specifically, it is at PPVSAT on Instagram and other handles or other platforms. You can follow me at Miss Mary Matt, MissMereyMatt on Instagram and Twitter.
Very good. Well, thank you very much for your insight. Once again, our guest today is Meredith Matthews, Planned Parenthood South Atlantic's community organizer and chairperson for Low Country Sexual Assault Response Team in Charleston, South Carolina. And before I go, I'll leave you with this. Plain and simple, abortion is healthcare. Amnesty International reminds us that an abortion is a medical procedure that ends a pregnancy. It is a basic healthcare need for millions of women and girls who can become pregnant. Not uncommon, and not to be stigmatized. Worldwide, an estimated 1 in 4 pregnancies will end in abortion each year. Regardless of what the law says, people will continue to have abortions. Criminalizing abortion doesn't stop abortion. It just makes it less safe. This has been a production of the Black Information Network. Today's show was produced by Chris Thompson. Have some thoughts you'd like to share? Use the red microphone talkback feature on the iHeartRadio app. While you're there, be sure to hit subscribe and download all of our episodes. I am your host, Ramses Ja, on all social media. Join us tomorrow as we share our news with our voice from our perspective, right here on the Black Information Network Daily Podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you. And how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.